We've been in this series for 3 weeks now. Today is the fourth week, and we're probably going to finish it here because we have a surprise for you next week. And so I want to end this series that we've titled, The Bible Doesn't Say That. How many have been blessed by the series so far? Challenge? Amen? The Bible doesn't say that. Excuse me. The problem with being a pastor who also worships is that by the time I get up here, I've lost my voice. So, but we've been in a series called The Bible Doesn't Say That, and this is week four, and today I want us to go to John chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to start with verse 1 and go to verse 9. Verse 1-9. And if you have your Bibles, you can go there. If you don't have your Bibles, it's all good, because it will be on the screen. I'm reading out of the ESV translation. Hey, how are you? Sorry. I just love seeing faces that I don't get to see often. I'm going to read it out of the ESV translation. So there's something I want to talk about a little bit before we move on. Let's start in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind and lame and paralyzed. Now, some of you might have a version that includes the following verse, and some of you might actually have a version that includes this verse, and it's verse 4. You might see that it jumps from verse 3 to verse 5, and kind of omits verse 4, or you have verse 4, so I'm going to read it, but I want to explain why some versions of the Bible have this verse and some versions don't. And it actually reads for some of you, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was healed of whatever disease. Now, the ESV translations and many other translations actually omit that verse. Not because it's not true, but because when they were doing the translations, they realized that in the early manuscripts, that verse was not included. And what they believe is that as the copyists were copying the transcripts, they placed that verse in there so that verse 7 would make a little bit more sense. Okay? So this is I want to put that out there because most people would try to point that out as if it were an error to the Bible, and that's not the case. What it really is the copyist wanted to bring in some kind of, this is what the belief is, wanted to bring clarity to what is being said in verse 7 when we get there, okay? The reason why this is not an error is because it does not change anything theologically. It does not change anything doctrinally. It does not change anything about the character, the nature of God. It doesn't change anything about what he can and cannot do. But I wanted to put that in there as to why some versions of the Bible don't have it in and some versions do. The ESV translation, as well as some of the other translations like the CSB and I believe a few more, they kept it out. I think NIV also keeps it out. For the sake of being faithful to the oldest manuscripts that we have. All right? Make sense? All right. So he continues, says, and one man there who had been an invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, Do you want to be healed? And verse 7 says, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, get up, take your bed, and walk. And at once, everybody say, at once. At once, the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now, really quickly, I want to share something with you that might come as a surprise or a shock to a lot of you. I'm the kind of person who likes to be in control. Don't laugh. It's not that funny. All right? It's not the kind of in control where I want to be overbearing or I'm power hungry. But it's the liking of being in control because I like to feel like I've got a handle on things. I like to feel like I know what's going on. I like to feel like I have some options, some plans, some strategies. I like to feel like I can solve things on my own. I don't like to depend on people. I don't like to wait for people to figure things out for me. In school, it's why I struggled with group projects, because I don't like depending on other people, right? And part of it stems from my own personal life and upbringing. I suffered a lot of trauma. I found myself in positions and places where I had to take care of me, myself, and I, because I truly believed that no one would ever step outside of themselves to truly trouble themselves to help take care of me. And so the only person that could take care of me was me, which is why I like to be in control. And when I'm not in control, you know what I feel like? It makes me feel weak. It makes me feel incapable. It makes me feel vulnerable. It even scares me. And that's not a comfortable place for me. It's not a comfortable place for me to be. It's definitely not comfortable for me to feel weak and incapable or vulnerable and scared. And the reality is that it's probably not comfortable for you either. Because when you're not in control, you're forced to face the truth that you can't always fix it. You can't always change it. You can't always save it. And many times you can't even move. And I hate that feeling. I hate feeling like I can't do something. I hate feeling exposed. I hate feeling dependent, and I hate feeling unsure. And it doesn't just make me uncomfortable. Sometimes it makes me feel less spiritual. Because sometimes I feel like I should be stronger than what I really am. Sometimes I feel like my faith should be a little stronger. Sometimes I feel like I should be a little bit more disciplined. Sometimes I feel like I shouldn't struggle so much with this anger issue or this frustration issue. Or sometimes I feel like I shouldn't struggle so much with these doubts and these fears. And I should have a little bit more control of myself. And it really doesn't help to believe this lie that is propagated even amongst Christian circles that God helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that statement before? Maybe you've said it yourself, or maybe somebody has said it to you because they really found themselves in a place where they didn't want to help somebody in need. So they justified the fact that they didn't want to help somebody in need by saying, well, God helps those who help themselves. So because they won't help themselves, I won't be the hands and feet of Jesus and help them either. Because God helps those who help themselves, right? That's the belief. Or maybe they had really good intentions and they were trying to encourage you. And they just said, well, you know, brother, the Bible does tell us that God helps those who help themselves. So you keep at it and you keep pushing and you keep striving and you keep working and you keep exhausting yourself to the point of where you feel like you're drowning, you're overwhelmed, you're overworked, you're burnt out. Because after all, God only helps those who help themselves. Now, on the surface, that sounds extremely biblical, doesn't it? It sounds nice. It sounds like, man, we've got to put our effort in. But deep down, for me personally, it became some of the worst advice that I had ever gotten. Because it made me believe that if I couldn't take control of my own situation, then quite possibly God couldn't take control either. And so how could I believe in him? How could I believe in him if I was too weak, too afraid, too broken, then maybe God would pass me on too, right? Because apparently, some of us believe that grace is only for the strong. And apparently, God is only interested once I've proved myself and I've got something to bring to the table. And I just want to tell you right now with all the clarity and compassion that I feel, that is a lie from the very pits of hell. And it's a lie that we have believed for far too long. And we have to know and understand this because we all like the feeling of being in control. Because when we're in control, we feel safe. But what happens